Are you happy?
Yeah.
I am. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, there's a lot of chapters in the Bible that have really blessed me. There's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where God used that chapter to, as I was reading one day, to call me to preach. And I thank the Lord for that. There's Galatians chapter 6, and Ephesians chapter 4, and Philippians chapter 4, and then there's 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, God has blessed us, and He's blessed me with His Word. Now, I remember last year, Nick and I, and Donna, and Justin, and Don, a bunch of us were coming to the classes. And one of the first things we had to do is we had to read Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy over, 20 times. Had to read it over and over again. And then we had to go through and outline it over and over again and study it. And Nick and I were given an assignment to preach on 2 Timothy chapter 4. And oh, the Lord blessed me back. And I just enjoy it. And I enjoy charges. You know, I'm the kind of guy that gets down every once in a while, gets whipped and gets tired. And, you know, I got to be rejuvenated. Someone's got to give me a little push to get me going. And that's what 2 Timothy chapter 4 does to me. It gives me a charge. In fact, it starts off with, "I charge thee." And that's something. I'd like to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he had greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your many blessings and your many answered prayers. And Lord, I ask that you bless Brother Kincaid as he's preaching now. Give him ease and give him power. And Lord, I ask the same for myself. And Lord, bless your word here today and bless it to the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Let it go out in power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know what the meaning of the word charge is? You know, Steve is getting discharged this week. I mean, he's relieved of his responsibility. He's no longer commanded by the Air Force. He's no longer responsible for the Air Force. He's being discharged. Well, 4 years ago, I signed a contract for 4 years in the United States Air Force. I was charged. I was responsible to them. I had to follow their commandments. I was charged with their duties. Some of you are charged with your duties, whether you be a carpenter, whether you be a security policeman, whether you be a farmer, an oiler, or a mechanic, whatever it may be, you're charged with the responsibilities. You are responsible. But Paul gives a commandment here. He gives a charge. He gives a charge to Timothy. As I was going to bring out earlier, the Word of God will do you no good if you don't apply it to yourself. You see, a person will never get saved unless he realizes the Word of God is dealing with him. Unless he realizes when the Bible talks about he's lost, that's him. Not somebody else, that's him. When the Bible talks about he needs a Savior, that's him. You know, the same thing applies to our lives. The Word of God will never bless you. The Word of God will never deal with you if you don't apply it to yourself. If you're always shrugging off to the person you're sitting next to and say, "No, he's not talking about me today. You know, give it to someone else. He must be talking to so-and-so." No, the Word of God is talking to you. And if you take it that way, if you apply it to yourself, you'll get a blessing out of it. And God will charge you. And God will use you. And that's the way I want to take it this way. That's why I want you to take it today as a charge to you. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom." Paul gives a commandment. He gives a commandment to the Christians, first of all. And that's what we're going to find here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But you know there's a commandment to the lost? They should be saved. They should be saved. And the commandment is before God. You know, it's one thing to sign your contract for the Air Force and get a little bound by that contract, but it's another thing to do it before God. You see, as we go out on our posts at work, we do a job, if we mess up, and say my supervisor comes up to me and says, "Airman Riggs, I charge thee, I command thee to go over here and clean up this post over here." And I say, "No." You know what he'll do? He'll go over and he'll get somebody else and he'll say, "Come here, Sarge." They'll come back and they'll say it again. "Okay, this is a direct order." And he'll be doing it in front of him. He says, "Airman Riggs, I command you, I've given you a direct order, go over and clean that post. And if I refuse to do it, the man has a witness against me. And I'll be court-martialed because I disobeyed a direct order." Now, Paul gives a charge. Paul gives him a commandment. And you know who it's before? It's before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. It's not before a man. It's not before men, but it's before God. And God's commandment to you is before Him. Paul's commandment. And God commands you to preach the Word. God commands you to be saved if you're lost. If you're ever going to get to heaven, you've got to come through Jesus Christ. Why? Because the court-martial is going to come. The judgment's going to come. You see, Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead. And what is the quick and the dead? Well, to be quickened is to be made alive. To make alive. To be dead is without life. Is without life. Do you realize that every person born is born without life? Spiritually dead? Separated from God? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision in your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Did you realize you were spiritually dead? You were without life. You were born in the world. Every man, every woman, every child born today is separated from God. He needs to be quickened. He needs to be made alive. He needs to be born again. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says born again. You've got to be made alive. You see, you're separated from God because of your sin, because you're still in your sins. You're dead in your sins. Look at verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Your wicked self has got to be circumcised by the Spirit of God. Because you're dead. You're dead. Do you realize in John chapter 3 there was a religious man by the name of Nicodemus that came unto Jesus Christ? And you know what Jesus Christ told that religious man, that religious Pharisee, that man that lived a righteous life? And I dare to say that man that had a better life than any of us here put together. That's how righteous he was in the eyes of men. You know what Jesus Christ told that righteous man? He said, "You must be born again." You know why? Because he was dead. He was dead. He was dead in his sins. Sure, he had religion. Sure, he had the law. Sure, he followed the commandments. But he was still dead. He still had to be born again. Look at John chapter 3. I want to show you some things in here. Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you're ever going to get to the kingdom, if you're ever going to reach God, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be made alive. You're going to have to be quickened. And Jesus told that religious leader, that man that had all his righteousness, told him that. And Nicodemus says in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He's got him stumped. But, well, Jesus, all right, let me get you straight here. You want me to be born again? Okay, I remember when I was born the first time. That was about 35 years ago. Okay? I got that straight. Now you want me born again. How am I going to do it? What are you going to do? Sprinkle some water on me and clump me back and put my mother's womb and start all over again? How's this going to work? Jesus says, "No. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You've got to be born again. You see, Nicodemus, first of all, you was born of water. You was born of water physically. Now you've got to be born spiritually. First of all, you're born physically, then spiritually. You see, if you're never born the first time, you're never going to reach God. How could it be if you're never here, if there's no presence of you? You've got to be born the first time, and then if you're ever going to reach God, you're going to be born spiritually the second time. Now I want you to notice something here, because it's very important, because the religious people of the world today will take you to this verse, and they're going to tell you, you've got to be baptized and born of the Spirit. Because it says water there. Because it says water there. That water does not say baptism. Where do you see baptism in that water? Nowhere. That's right. It's not in there. When you look at the text of what Jesus is talking about, in verse 4, Nicodemus thinks that he's got to be born a second time. Jesus says, no, Nicodemus, you're born the first time of the water of your womb. Did you know that you came from water? Did you know that life comes from water? Did you know that in your womb you was gelled in water, in a mother's womb? And that when you were born, you break that water? I had a Campbellite, and Campbellites are people that teach that you've got to be water baptized to be saved. I had a lady tell me, well, that can't be true. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What about dry births? Did you know in dry births they still break water? Did you know that? They still break water. And that's what he's talking about. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You've got to be born again spiritually. And that water there is not baptism. Look back in Colossians chapter 2. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins. And down in verse 14 it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. They'll come here and they'll say, look at here, you've got to be baptized. What's it say? How are you baptized? Well, you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body and the death of Jesus Christ. As you notice here, it's by the faith of the operation of God. The Spirit of God baptizes you into the body and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. You're placed there spiritually. And where they get confused, they believe that the water does it. They believe that when you get dunked into that water, that somehow in a mysterious way, the city water system becomes blood and washes your sin. It's not so. It's a spiritual baptism, and that's where they get confused. That's where multitudes of people get confused. Because they trust in water baptism. Because they trust in their works. They think that somehow they live a good life. They follow the commandments. They get baptized. That somehow God's going to make them alive. God's going to accept them in heaven. It's not so. It's not so. You must be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 1, but as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in the next verse it says, not born of the will of man, nor of man, but of God. You're born of God. God gives you life. Why? Because you believed on his name. Whose name? The name of Jesus. Amen. There's no other name under heaven by which man must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. If you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to come God's way. God's way. There's no other way. Your priest won't save you. Your pope won't save you. Your pastor won't save you. Your church won't save you. Your good works won't save you. There's nothing but Jesus. Amen. Nothing but Jesus. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And what is that gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Eternal life. God gives you himself. Jesus Christ comes into and dwells you in the Holy Spirit. And he gives you everlasting life, and he seals you under the day of redemption. You become a child of God. Just as you did nothing to be born physically, you do nothing to be born spiritually. It's all on God's part. And you become a child of God. You become a son of God. You're made quickened. You're quickened. Made alive. Why? Because your sins and the ordinance and the law that was against you before was nailed to the cross. Was nailed in Jesus Christ. And when you receive him, God gives you everlasting life.
Amen.
And if you don't obey the commandment, if you reject the commandment, in Acts chapter 17, around verse 30, somewhere there, it says, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent. And what you need to do is repent. Repent of your dead works. Repent of your wasted life. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and realize he's the only Savior. And if you don't, if you reject the commandment of God, if you reject the commandment to repent, It's before God. And you're going to stand judgment. The judgment is found in Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. It says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face of the earth and heaven fled away, and heaven, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. If you are dead, if you are without Jesus Christ, you never call upon Him for your salvation, you are dead. And I want you to know something, that you're going to face judgment. Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead. He's going to judge you. I don't care if you died or froze to death in Alaska. I don't care if you died and was eaten by sharks in the ocean. I don't care if you died and you shipped your body to the moon and planted it up there. I don't care if you died and burned your body and scattered on the four corners of the earth. You're going to raise up and stand before God. Death and hell are going to deliver up the dead with them. Or the ocean is going to get delivered up the dead that was in it. Everything. All the dead are going to stand before God and be judged. And you know what's going to be judged? Your works. You count on your works to get to heaven, they're going to be judged. You're going to stand before God and give your excuses as to why you never came to Jesus. Why, how you knew the gospel for years after years. How you sat in churches and heard the gospel preached. You're going to give account that day why you never accepted it. Why you didn't. And you're going to stand before Him and you're going to plead your cause. But, oh Lord, I thought I came to church and I did good. I thought surely You wouldn't punish me. I mean, didn't my good outweigh my bad? I know I was bad, but I did a little bit more good. You know what's going to happen? He's going to say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're going to fall short of what God demands of you. And God demands you absolute righteousness. And there's only one way through that. That's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And faith in Him. If you reject the command of God, if you reject the command that says, repent, you're going to stand before Him. But my Christian friend, God gives us the commandment. God gives us the charge. And you know what it is? It's preach the Word. Nick, Jim, Janice, Donna, you want to know what I'm going to preach? Boy, every time Brother Kincaid has me preaching, boy. Here they come, boy. What are you going to preach? What are you going to preach? I'm going to preach the Word. I'm going to preach the Word. And how can I preach the Word if I don't have it? I thank the Lord, I've got the Word. Amen. I've got the Word. I don't need New American Standard. I don't need none of these other versions. I've got the Word. And God gives us the commandment, preach the Word. Amen. Preach the Word. You know what's going to happen if we shrug that commandment? We're going to stand judgment too. Not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ. The commandment is given. Preach the Word. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We got an opportunity to preach the Word in Mexico. But are you willing? Are you willing? We got an opportunity to preach to those that are in our homes. Those that are our next door neighbors. Those that are at work. Those that are our teachers and friends. We got an opportunity to preach the Word. The commandment is, preach the Word. Bring the gospel to every creature. God didn't tell us to start social club. He didn't tell us to start softball diamonds and softball teams. He didn't tell us to start bowling alleys. You know what God told us to do? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. He didn't tell us to save souls. He said, preach the Word. He didn't just ask us. He commanded us. Preach the Word. Are you faithful to that commandment? Are you faithful to that order? Your commander-in-chief just gave you an order. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. What else? It says, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Isn't it so easy to be faithful in witnessing when everything's going right? Isn't it so easy to be faithful coming to church when everything's going right? Isn't it so easy to give to God when you got all this money coming in? But what happens when the money's not there? What happens when you're not making the money anymore? Do you still give? Are you still instant in season? Are you still faithful? What happens when old Satan's got you whipped and defeated? Are you still faithful? Are you still faithful then? It's so easy to do it when everything's going right and everything's going your way. All your prayers are being answered, but what happens when they're not answered? Are you still faithful? What happens when you get discouraged? Are you still faithful? Are you still faithful to preach the Word? Are you still faithful to give a witness? Are you still faithful in giving? Are you still faithful? Or do we get weary and whipped and defeated? It's so easy. So easy. In Galatians chapter 6. It says, in verse 7, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Amen. In verse 9 it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if what? If we faint not." I think about that man right there, Jim McAllister. I think about how for 2 years, steadily, day in and day out, I gave him a witness. Whether he liked it or not, I gave him a witness. And oh, there were times when I began to cry as he walked away and not trusting Jesus Christ. As he knew the gospel, he knew there was a reason that he needed to be saved. He knew he needed to be saved, yet he walked away and rejected it. My heart was broken many a times, and I was going to give up many a times. But oh, the faithfulness of God. God saved me. God saved me. Why? Because I wasn't weary in well-doing. There were times I wanted to be. There were times when I felt like I was going to be. Oh, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Oh, as we put the gospel out into the Mexican newspapers and in San Antonio, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't trust. Just tangle all tongue enough. Just trust God. Just believe God. Don't be weary in well-doing. In verse 7 it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap." Did you know there's a natural law that if you sow something, you're going to reap it? Did you know if you sow corn, you're going to reap corn? Did you know if you sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat? Did you know if you sow sin, you're going to reap sin? Did you know if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap what you sow to it? Did you know if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit? Did you know if you give, you're going to get back in return? You want to know something? That if you just sow a little bit of seed, you're going to get multitudes more than what you gave. Do you know that same applies to our giving? Not only of our finances, but of our time. Not only of our time, but of our life. Everything we have, we give it to God. If we sow it in God, and sow the Word of God, we shall reap. Amen. There's a definite law. We got God's Word on it right there. We shall reap if we faint not. Down in verse 10 it says, As we have therefore opportunity. There's not many opportunities in the world left anymore. China's closed. Russia's closed. You just can't walk in them countries and preach the gospel. But I tell you what, we have an opportunity to print the gospel in Mexico this day, this month. We got an opportunity. The opportunity is there. But the tragedy is we just let the opportunities go by. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it next week. The opportunity is here. We have the chance to do it now. As God has given you opportunity, act upon that opportunity. God broke me when Brother Crosby was here. I've always been tight on my money. Oh man, I didn't like spending my money unless I had to. Boy, when I go to Wendy's, you know what I do? I take them coupons in there. Boy, I'm trying to get three hamburgers out of one coupon, boy. I'm going to do anything I can. Just give me what I can get out of it, boy. And I'm going to squeeze them until they give me what I need, boy. I don't like spending my money unless I have to. And I thought about how I saved money. What was my purpose in saving money? And Ross says she gave up her whole savings account and gave it to Sylvia. She had a lot of money in that savings account. She trusted God and believed God. And she gave it to Sylvia so she could reach the mission field. And I thought about, oh, tragedy. What am I saving for? Am I saving for the rainy day? If I'm saving for that, God will surely give me one. If I'm saving a rainy day, my muffler's going to go out. If I'm saving for a rainy day, my engine's going to go.
It will, man.
That's right, it did. I learned not to save for rainy days anymore. Let me share with you a quick lesson. Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
Don't give of your abundance, give of your need. Give of your need. Give of your need. I think of people that give 90% of their pay. 90%. And we're worried about giving 10%. Think about where you spend your money. Think about where you spend all your time. You spend on self. You spend it upon feeding yourself, buying your trinkets, buying your boats, buying new cars. We have an opportunity. I've been praying for $7,000. I may be wrong praying like that. I don't know. But I believe God says pray definite. So I'm going to pray definite. I don't like praying just, you know, Lord, give me something. I want to know what I'm going to get and know what God answers. I'd like to see $7,000 come in, but it's never going to happen if people don't give. People don't give. Sit there and hang on to the money as if it's never going to let go. It's going to hang on. Well, God's going to get his money. I found out that God's going to get his money one way or another. Whether he breaks your car down, he had to go pay your bill at the auto mechanic, and he gives it to the Lord, he's going to get it one way or another. So why don't we just give? And we shall reap if we take now. We shall reap. What else are we commanded to do? We're to be instant in season, out of season. We're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Oh, a lot of people don't like this part, reprove and rebuke. Have you ever gotten a telephone from Brother Kincaid? Paul, you ever got a telephone call from him? Huh? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You'll be walking around on your post and you get this little, Aaron Riggs, come in at 10:25 here and answer this 10:12. You know, come in here and answer the telephone. You get on this telephone, you hear, well, how you doing there, Brett? Real good, Brother Kincaid. How you doing this morning, you know? Then you got to keep on pulling the phone apart from here. Where was you last night, Brent? Huh? But God has given a command to reprove and rebuke. You know, if you're not rebuked every once in a while, you'll get out of line. Now, I thank the Lord for people that got enough guts to rebuke me. If I'm wrong, you better rebuke me. Because I know I'll go wrong. I know I'll go astray. Rebuke me. I think about our bosses at work. In the military, they got a rank system where you go up in rank. Well, you find yourself one day that you're just a nobody. The next day you find out that you're responsible and you're ahead of people. And we have, I feel sorry for this man. He's one of our supervisors. Here he was just a little buck sergeant. Boy, he was just running around having a good old time. No responsibility, just go any way he wants. But one day he got staff sergeant. One day the responsibility was given to him. You know what he has to do? He has to rebuke now. He has to tell people where they're wrong. And you know what the problem is? As when he was a buck sergeant, he didn't do what he was supposed to do before. And he can't rebuke. How can he rebuke? Because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. He tells me to do a job or tells anybody to do a job, and we can just say, look at him and say, well, how can you tell us to do this job? How can you tell us to do that and you've never done it yourself? I think about the times, multitudes of times that we've hurt one another's feelings and are clowning around and are jesting. And I'm guilty of this more than anybody else. Oh, I love a good job. And people's feelings have been hurt. And when it comes time to rebuke, you find you can't do it because you're guilty of the same. You better live a life above reproach. Because there's going to be a time when God has commanded us to reprove and rebuke. That's your responsibility. How many Christians are led astray because somebody didn't tell them what they was wrong? Somebody didn't have enough guts to tell them, hey, you're wrong here, brother. And they would have changed. A wise man will change. A wise man will heed the counsels of men and the counsel of God. But he tells us to rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, the need is there to plead for lost souls to come to Jesus. The need is there to be patient. Oh, never give up on God. Never give up on Him. Long suffering is patience. Wait upon the Lord. He shall renew your strength. Wait upon Him. It says doctrine. There's multitudes of doctrines going around. People tell you got to be saved by works. People tell you got to get baptized. People tell you this and people tell you that. Better watch your doctrine. You better get in the Word of God and read the Word of God. Read what it says. You get confused. Just as people get so confused on baptism. Why? They think there's one baptism, yet the Bible says there's seven. There's seven. They think there's only one baptism, it's water baptism. Yet you go through and you find there's different ones. And people get confused in their doctrines. You better study your word and know the doctrines of God. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned on the fables. Shall be turned on the fables. The tragedy is multitudes of people in the world today, they don't want to hear the truth. See, don't confuse me with the facts. I want to hear the truth. All I want to hear is what pleases me. I thought about before I was lost, when I was still lost. Without Jesus Christ, without hope. I thought about, you know, I ought to go to church. And I looked around at all the churches, you know, and I went to a little Baptist church, and boy, we'd get in there at 10 o'clock, and at 1:30 I'm saying, Tom, when are we going to get out? You know, when are we going to get out? And I'd come home, my friend said, I've been out of church since 8 o'clock, you know. I said, well, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to this little Catholic church down here. We just meet for an hour. I said, oh, that's where I'm going to go. Well, I like that kind of church. Just go in there for an hour and get out. Get in, get out, boy. People are looking for something that will please them. People are looking for something that they can live like hell all week long and then come in on Sunday and just, it's all right. You're holy again. It's not only the Catholic church. It's in this church here today. You think that you can just live like the devil all week long and then come in on Sunday and get rejuvenated and it'll hold you over next week or next month or whatever. You think that you can do anything you want. And you go, you don't want to be taught about doctrine. You don't want to be talked about the Word of God. You don't want to hear rebuke and reproof. What you want to hear is, oh, you sure are faithful coming every Sunday morning, you know. We sure are glad that you, I'm sorry you couldn't make it for the teaching hour, but man, you sure are faithful making it here for the preaching hour. Yeah. What about Sunday night? What about Wednesday night? What about the nights we go out and preach the gospel? Yeah, but the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't preach about money. Man, you hit my heart. I mean, you're getting down to the sore point. Don't preach about it. You come in and expected a little blessing that, you know, all of that was so sweet. He didn't step on nobody's toes today. You know, I just got out of there skating like a little rabbit. Boy, I'm just doing real good today. Tragedy. People running around. Looking for themselves teachers, having itching ears. You ever have an itching ear? You want to find out what's going on? And shall be turned into fables. Unto fables. Has Satan ever told you a fable? Have you ever been told a fable? You know what a fable is? It's a story. I have a guy where it comes around and tells me, says, I tell him something. He'd say, well, tell me one about the three bears now. Go ahead and tell me one about the three bears. You know, he thinks I'm telling him a story. Tell me one about the Goldilocks there. Okay? Tell me some more stories. Satan will come to you with a story. How about this story? You don't need to come to church on Sunday night. You don't need to take the Lord's Supper. It's no biggie. Just come on Sunday morning. It's all right. You heard that fable before? The story. The lie. How about this one? Oh, there's no need to give. I mean, somebody else will give. I mean, well, if you really want to give, okay, you're right. You should give. Drop a dollar in a bucket. You ever heard that lie? The story. How about, well, you really don't need to witness. I mean, you know, just live a good life and be happy and just do God's job. No use to witness. No use. It's all right. Somebody else will do it. Brother Kincaid will do it. Brother Taylor will do it. Somebody else will go out. The young people go out and witness. No biggie. You've heard that lie before. It's a fable. It's a fable. And Satan tells people fables because they're looking for it. Now, how about this one? That's a great one. This one, Satan used this one on me lots of times. Brent, now you know if you get up there and preach, you're just going to be too proud. I mean, you're going to be so proud, so you just don't even get up and preach. Boy, that sounds good, you know. That's very righteous there, Brent. Now, if you get up there and preach, yeah, you hadn't better do that. God doesn't like pride, so you hadn't better get up there and preach. So you sit back there, all pious, you know. Oh, I'm so humble, you know. I don't want to stand up and preach the word. I don't want to stand up and stand for righteousness. Oh, no. I'd just be too proud. Boy, Satan gets me on that one, don't he? Boy, he tricked me on that one for a long time. Fable. Fable. How about, no. I'm going to call you to Arizona. God wants you to go to Africa.
Satan will tell you stories. Satan will tell you stories. You better watch these things. You better get in the Word of God and find out what God wants you to do. You better get on your knees and begin to pray and seek God's will. That'll be obedient to God's will. Because we've been given a command. In verse 5 it says, "But watch thou in all things." But watch thou in all things. Are you awake? Are you awake today? Are you watching? Jesus, as he was praying, he came back and Peter and the other disciples were asleep. And he said, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray." Are you watching for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for his return? If Jesus came back today, would you be ready? Would you be awake? Or would you say, "Oh no, Lord, wait a minute, I've got to go clean my house here"? You have to run back and, boy, get on your knees and start confessing your sins. Before I was saved, my cousin, he gave me this statement. He was asking the question, "Well, what would you do if you knew Jesus Christ was going to come back?" And I said, "I don't know. I wouldn't say it. I didn't even know it was coming." But he says, I said, "Well, what would you do?" He said, "Well, I'd get right with God, that's for sure. I'd get right with God. Boy, I'd confess all my sins and I'd get right." Well, how do you know he ain't coming today? He might come before this hour's up. Better wake up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. verse 33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." I speak this to your shame. It says, awake to righteousness. Wake up. Did you know that friends will deceive you? You know, lost friends will take you into the gutter and drag you down and whip you. That's what he's talking about in verse 33. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. We think, "Oh, they're my friend. You know, they would never do me no wrong." And I'm sure they don't intentionally try. The evil communications corrupt good manners. They corrupt your lifestyle. You see, your lost friend don't want you to come to church. Your lost friend don't want you out preaching the gospel. Your lost friend don't want you doing things that you do for the Lord. But in verse 34 it says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Dave Wright, as I stayed over at his Brother Lee Patton's house, every morning wake up at 5:30. Wake up for Jesus. You know, he's coming in and just singing. "Wake up. We're going to start another day. We're going to live a day for Jesus." Boy, he's just coming in there singing. And I wake up, you know. It takes me 4 hours to get going. "Oh yeah, today's the Lord's day." No, wake up. "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You ought to be ashamed today. You ought to look ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. As I think about my commander that doesn't know Jesus Christ because I never went in and told him. And I think about the teachers that you went to school with all year long and you never told them about Jesus. You ought to be ashamed. I think about your co-workers and your workers that you went to all year long. Never heard about Jesus. Never heard Jesus come from your lips. Never heard praise from your mouth. You ought to be ashamed. We all ought to be ashamed. You know what the problem is? We don't love God enough. We don't love lost souls enough. We don't have a burden. We don't have a brokenness over sin. We ought to wake up. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." It says here, "Awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." How many people in Mexico could hear the gospel if people would give? How many people throughout the world would hear the gospel if people would give? How many lost souls would come to Jesus if people would open their mouths and tell them? How many people would be won to Christ if people would open their mouths and praise the Lord sometimes? How many? It's a shame. It's a shame. We walk to work and we walk to school and we just going, oh, we're just playing our little games and we can go to McDonald's and we go to Wendy's and we just have a good old time, but you never hear praise come from our mouth. You never hear joy come from our mouth. You never hear songs about Jesus. Oh, it's a shame. We ought to be ashamed. Awake to righteousness and sin now, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Speak this to my shame, to tragedy. How many people would drop into hell because somebody never told them about Jesus? How many people do you know? How many friends? How many neighbors on your block never heard about Jesus? How many barbers do you know that you get a haircut from day in and day out, never told them about Jesus? And he has to die this night, he's dropping to hell. How many gas stations attendants are you going to be going to day in and day out? You never told them about Jesus. You've been going there week after week, year after year. Never told them about Jesus. Pitiful. Verse 5, it says, endure affliction. All we think is it's just the end of the world when somebody closes the door in our face. Oh no, the world's coming to an end. Boy, he shut the door in my face because I was trying to tell him about Christ. Paul went through some affliction. That man went through some affliction. And we never even feel affliction. You know what we think affliction is? I don't want to hear what you're saying tonight. Will you please leave? Oh! I've been afflicted. Oh, I've been beaten. I think about, oh man, they took my stride. Oh, I'm being persecuted, you know. Oh man, they did me wrong. And I have to admit, sometimes we are wrong with Christians. Sometimes they're out there, they're against you, and they do. You know how you handle that? I'll tell you how you do it. You love them. Just keep cold fire on their head. Oh boy, that burns them up more than when you went back and got them yourself. I think about the time my roommate, boy, this just cracks me up because there was a Bible principle applied. And it says, love your enemies. Don't repay evil for evil. Do good on them that hate you. Bam. I was in there. I made up my mind. My roommate had been doing me in all the months he'd been doing me in. I said, I'm going to get him now. Well, I ain't going to do him in bad, but I'm going to do him good. Well, I'm going to get him from coals of fire. Right. Boy, I went over there and I shined his boots. Boy, I just worked on his boots. And I said, well, not well, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. I'm going to iron his uniform, starch his uniform. And I'm sitting there ironing his uniform, boy, and I'm just starching away, and I don't like iron. But I was doing it anyway, you know. Now I'm just praying to him, boy, I'm going to get him this time. And I just wait for him to come in, boy. And sure enough, he come in. First thing he says, hey, Christian. Hey, Rick, why don't you down there clean up that mess down there? You know, the washer's overflowing. You should be down there cleaning up that. That's what you Christians are for. And he was just letting me have it, boy. Up one side and down the other. And I'm just, boy, just iron his old uniform, boy. And I'm just eating that up, boy. Just going away. And he was just going about 10 minutes. He went out about why I should be down there and how I ain't a very good Christian. I surely wasn't going to heaven because I didn't go down and mop up that water down there in the washateria, you know. He just letting me have it. And he looked. He goes, my uniform. I go, yep. He goes, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I was reading the Bible today in Romans chapter 12, you know, it says to love your enemies. And I figured if Jesus can love you, then I can love you too. And I'm just going, boy, he didn't know what to do. And he says, well, I guess I was wrong, you know, he just, Boy, you want to get them? Love them. Boy, they don't know what to do. I think about, now, they took my stride more. That was fine. I wanted to love them so bad. But man, there was so much, ooh, I fought on that one. Boy, the Lord had to hold me back because I was ready to do some extreme myself when they took that stride from me. But, you know what? I'm not sure if I did exactly all right, but I did something right. I didn't say nothing. You know, I held my peace. Them five that took my stripes, that five that went to that commander and took my stripes, every time they see me, they're ashamed. They're ashamed. Boy, you want to get your enemies? Love them. Love them. To eat their lunch. Endure affliction. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I like that part. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what God called me to do. You know what? That's what God called you to do. That's what God's called you to do, to be an evangelist. What is the evangelist? He's the one that brings the gospel to the people. Brings the gospel to the people. Did you know you may not be called to Mexico? You may not be called to Guatemala. You may not be called to Africa. God's got his own calling for each and every individual. He's got his own course. He's got his own direction for you. But you know what? If God has just called you to be a faithful housewife here, or a worker here, you can bring the gospel to the people of Mexico by giving. By giving. You know that? You can be evangelists throughout the world by giving and send somebody else. Although you've never been called, you can send somebody else. Did you know you can be an evangelist in your home as your next door neighbors come over and visit? You can talk to them about Jesus. Did you know you can be an evangelist at work and at play and at McDonald's and at Wendy's, because you know you can be an evangelist. Isn't that something? You can be an evangelist. You've been commanded to. You've been given a charge. He says, look what else. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. Get all you can get out of it, boy. I mean, when you go to Wendy's, take your coupons with you. I mean, just get all you can get for your dollar. When you go down there to get your gas, or when you get that when you hit the $6 mark and it's all filled up, take that old hose and shake it up there and get all your gas out of there, you know. Get your full proof. And the same thing with your life. You ought not to waste time. Time is valuable. Time is very valuable. If you can do two things at one time, you ought to do it. If you got to shine your boots, turn on a tape and listen to Jesus. Get Brother Kincaid's tape out there. Let him rattle your ears for a while. Do a couple things at a time. You're driving down the road, pray. Do two things at a time. You're at work, pray. Make full proof of our ministry. Make full proof of our ministry. You know, I was going to go on. Let me say this. In verse 6, it says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. I was talking to you about what God called you to do. God called Paul for a specific ministry. God had that man set apart for a specific ministry, what God had him to do. And Paul was in this prison ready to be killed, ready to die. And he could look back and say, I've completed my course. I've run the course that God has given me faithfully. I fought a good fight. Oh, there were times when I got down. There were times when I got whipped, but I completed my course. I completed my course. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 22. It says, to the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may attain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore do run, not as uncertain, certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, thus that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. God has not called everybody to be a pastor. God has not called everybody to be a preacher. God has not called everybody to be a giver. God has not called everybody for different gifts. You can't have all gifts. Well, the gift that God has given you, take it and make full proof of it. Take what God has given you and use that. If God would have you be a mechanic, if God would have you be an oil rigger and give it all to the Lord. If God would have you to be a faithful housewife, be a faithful housewife. If God would have you to be a teacher, whatever God would have you to be, whatever course God has set before you, run it with faithfulness and fight a good fight. I want you to realize you're fighting against principalities and powers. I want you to realize you're fighting against the depths of hell and Satan himself. And run the course that God has set before you. Take the light which God has given you and follow to the best you can. Be obedient to what God has called you to do. And run the race. And run that race. Why? That we may obtain. That ye may obtain. You know, I believe that Paul got all five crowns. I believe when he got back that he was going to get all five of them. The soul winner's crown, the martyr's crown. All of them. Incorruptible crown. I believe Paul got them all. Why don't you run that race? Why don't you run for some crowns? Why don't you run for the glory of Jesus Christ? You know, I think about how back in Pennsylvania, I was on an all-star bowling team. And boy, we went around the state all over the board, just bowling. Boy, I bowled my best. I want to bowl my best because I wanted to get the crown, Lord. I want to get them trophies. I thought about my baseball years and softball years and Pinewood Derby years and all them other things you used to do. All the crowns I got. You know where they're at right now? I used to have a trophy case just full of trophies. You know where they're at right now? They're sitting in a box collecting dust. Collecting dust. No good. And I tell you, not one bit of good. Some of them are broken. Some of them are chipping, and they're all just plucking dust. But you know, we can get some crowns in heaven, and they're incorruptible. They're incorruptible.
Amen.
Oh, the day that we stand before Jesus, He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done."
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I probably never will die. I'll probably be raptured out of here, praise God.
Yeah.
But if it ever happened that I got in an automobile accident and I was about ready to die, I want to be able to look back and say, I've completed my course. I've fought a good fight. I want to be able to say that. Verse 27, it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You better keep yourself in control. You better die daily to Jesus Christ. Give you all to Jesus. And here's what Paul fears in the last part of verse 27. "I myself should be a castaway. One thing that I fear is that God put me on a shelf. I don't want to be put on a shelf. I don't want God to say, 'You're useless no more. I tried to get you to go for me, but you never go. I tried to call you to mission field, but you wouldn't go. I tried to call you to preach, but you wouldn't go.' And God just cast you away. Oh, you'll still be a child of God. You'll still be a son of God. But you'll be sit on the shelf. Not being able to do nothing for Jesus. Because you refuse to obey the call of God. Oh, that we'd run out of this. Oh, that we'd be faithful." Now, I was talking about that all-star bowling. We had 8 people on that team. 8 people on the team. Only 5 could bowl. And if you was going to bowl, you had to run. You had to bowl good to stay on there. Because the worst bowler got dropped off the next week and somebody else came and filled the slot. Boy, every week I did everything I can to get all them pins down, boy. I just bowled the best I could because I didn't want to be captured. I didn't want to be sitting back there. I wanted to be up there where the action was. You know where I want to be? I want to be where the action is. Oh, I don't ask for trials. I don't ask for difficulties. But oh, I want to be in the will of God. And I know that in the will of God, you're in a fight. You're in a battle continually. That's where I want to be, the will of God. The will of God. You know, your course will take you across many different people. It will take you dealing with different situations, different countries, whatever it may be. And Paul, his course, took him through prison, took him through beatings, took him through brothers and sisters, some faithful and some not. Now, I thank the Lord for some of the people. Luke was with him. Luke stayed with him. Mark was profitable for him. Titus was his brother. But you know what? It's a tragedy that people like Demas in verse 10, Timothy. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas hath forsaken me. And over in the last part of the verse, in verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Of whom be thou aware also, for he greatly withstood our word." You know your course is going to bring you, the course that God has set you before you is going to bring you across people. You got to watch out for some people. You got to watch out for those that love the world. I imagine, I don't know the whole story about Demas, but here it says that he loved the world. He don't have a very good testimony for sure. Look at verse 10. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, I don't know what Demas was doing with Paul. I imagine he was going out witnessing and telling people about Jesus and having a good old time. But one day Demas must have decided it wasn't worth it. He went back to the world because he loved the world. I don't ever want to have that testimony. I don't ever want to have the testimony that I love the world. I don't ever want to have the testimony that I love money more than Jesus. I don't want to have the testimony that I love something in this world more than Jesus. I don't want anything to come before me in Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be Lord of what I think. I want to be Lord of what I say and what I do. You know that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Huh? You fall in love with that girl, boy. That's all you can think about all day long is that girl. Or that guy, or whatever. You fall in love, you got $1 million. $1 million come in. You won a prize. The like cash prize, or whatever it may be. But all you can think about is that prize. Oh, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, that my treasure would be Jesus. Oh, that our treasure would be Jesus. Oh, that our love would be for Jesus and not for this world. We wouldn't forsake it if demons did. Alexander doesn't have a very good testimony. Now, I'm not quite sure exactly what Alexander did, but he sure did give Paul some trouble. And Paul told Timothy to beware of him. Are you a Christian? Are you a type of Christian that all the Christians should be aware of? Huh? Do you hear that testimony? Do you hear the testimony? A Christian will come to this church and just, "Oh boy, glory, I'm happy today. The Lord has blessed me." And you just stand there. You know. All the joy is gone. But you have no rejoicing. Are you a wet blanket that All the Christians. Are you a hindrance to other Christians? Are you a helper? Or what are you? Are you or are you a spiritual uplift? Are you encouraging? Oh, that we'd be encouraging our brothers and sisters. Look at verse 16. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. A couple of interesting things. All these men have forsaken Paul, and yet he stood faithful. Yet he stood faithful. And here's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Though all men forsook me, I pray God that it may not be laid to the charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Your parents may leave you. Your parents may cast you off. Your friends and your neighbors may cast you off. Your loved ones may cast you off because you're going to the mission field, because you're stepping out in faith and believing God and walking the will of God, walking the course that God has set before you. But Jesus will never leave you. There is a testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is faithful. Though your friends be unfaithful, though your friends be a discouragement, Jesus is always there.
Amen.
No matter what happens, no matter what evil comes upon you, no matter what trials or difficulties comes upon you, Jesus is there. And look at the last part of verse 17. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know who that lion is? Satan. Satan. Satan stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Has he devoured anything, any of you? Has he taken any of your blessings? How many blessings could you have and you'd give to God? But no, Satan has come along and he stole your blessings because he took away your giving. You don't want to give, and God stole, or Satan stole your blessings right there. How many people could praise the name of the Lord, but Satan's come along and taken it, and you allowed him to? You allowed him to. You've been walking and praising and rejoicing in the name of Jesus day in and day out, just walking in the glory of God. Satan stole your joy. You allowed him to do it. You know, we overcome in Jesus Christ. We can whip Satan in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our all. When are we going to come back to God? I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read that verse. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking who may be devoured. Be sober and vigilant. Be awake. Be awake. Be ready. You're in a battle. You're in a course. And the fight is on, O Christian soldier. Lift up your armor and put on your armor day in and day out. Remember what God has commanded you to do. And just as that lost person is going to be judged, so shall you, my Christian friend, at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to find out what work you've really done. In verse 1 of Timothy chapter 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The quick. You're the quick, my Christian friend. You're the ones that have been made alive. You shall be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be judged. That's why you spent all your time behind the television set. You're going to be judged why you spent all your time listening to filth of the radio. You're going to be judged why you spent all your time in doing things for yourself and nothing for Jesus. You're going to be judged why you never witnessed that captain, why you never witnessed that barber, why you never witnessed the neighbors and friends. You're going to be judged. You're going to find out what worked and what sort of the kind of life you did when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment. And it's going to be tried with fire. What foundation have you built upon? Have you built upon Jesus Christ? That's the only foundation. What are you building upon? Are you building gold and silver and precious stone? Or are you building wood, hay, or stubble? It's all going to be tried with the fire. But that's all going to be going up in a puff of smoke, or it's going to be purified. Depending on what you did. That's not how much you did, it's what sort. What kind of attitude do you have on giving? Do you give to God by, even the Lord? Or do you give to God, Lord, I want to give you more. Lord, I don't have enough to give. Lord, grant me more money that I can give more to you.
Amen.
Is that the kind? There's going to be what sort it is. It's not the what happened. Did you preach the word? Was you faithful in preaching the word? Was you instant in season, out of season? Was you a good witness? Was you a prayer warrior? Did you pray for your brothers and sisters? Did you lift up the elders in prayer? Who shall judge the quick and the dead? We're going to stand there ashamed, most of us, all of us, out of us. Stand ashamed before Jesus Christ. As we see all of us just gone. and yet so saved us by fire. You're going to get in there and skin of your teeth. Nothing to show for your work. Your 7 years, your 50 years, your 20 years, nothing to show. Nothing to show Jesus. Because you live for self. Because we live for self. Because I live for self. Because we didn't have enough guts to stand for Jesus. Because we didn't have enough guts to give and stand out by faith. How many people are going to be lost? How much work could have been done if somebody would have been faithful? I thank the Lord that God preserved us. Because if He didn't, we'd be an awful mess. We'd be an awful mess. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. First of all, my lost friend, you've been commanded to repent. If you don't repent, you'll stand before the judgment seat, or the great white throne judgment. And if you never came to Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire where your torment shall rise up forever and forever and forever. And while your heads are bowed, I want you to pray. I want you to seek God right now. Christian friend, you seek Him. Lost friend, you seek Him. You seek God. You find out what God would have you to do in your life. What God would have you to give up. If you're lost, if He have you, give up your work. Give up your dead work and come to Jesus and believe on Him. If you're saved here, my Christian friend, give up your life and give to Jesus. You pray. Lord Jesus, the tragedy that we don't serve You. God, it's a tragedy that we're ashamed of You. It's a tragedy that we're not witnesses. And oh God, make us witnesses. Break us of our disobedience. Lord, break up our hollow hearts. Break up our cold hearts. And give us revival. Amen. Oh God, put within us a heart of giving. Lord, revive my brothers and sisters. Revive me. Rebuke our sin, oh Lord. And Lord, let us run the course that You set before us. Let us be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.